RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Stafford out of the gun, looking left, still looking left, checks it back across the middle, intercepted on the backside. Jesse Bates, go, 20, Jesse. 15, 10, 5, house call, touchdown Atlanta.
Love that. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Garrett is filling in for Dylan behind the glass. Bo will be back with us next year, since we'll be back next year.
There you
year.
Go. Yeah, it does make it sound a little far off at this point. It does.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are about to get into the good, bad, and the ugly of last night's victory. But here are the headlines before you head out. The Hawks unfortunately lost again, 140-129. The Thunder took them down. That is seven losses in a row. Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is TBD at this point. Andy Reid plans on returning to the Chiefs as coach next season. Ole Miss running back Kawan Lacy is listed as probable to play against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And, of course, Monday Night Football. Last night, the Falcons beat the Rams 27-24. Here's Kirk Cousins after the game with Dave Archer on winning, even though they're eliminated from the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, you know, we got that question going back several weeks, and it just wasn't really a concern for me because of the character of the guys, and I know who I go to work with every day, and they're positive people. They want to do things the right way. They listen well. They're great teammates. And so, if anything, I just felt the weight of, you know, you want to see guys like that go to the playoffs and have great success. And so to know that wasn't going to happen hurt and stung, but not at all surprised by the way the guys have played the last few weeks.
I made the point to Grant last night as he and I were talking about the comments from Kirk and thinking through that and how big of a deal it is to have that kind of attitude in the locker room. And I say this, and it's just not like a, hey, you know, play for Raheem or play to save anybody's job. But just simply put, you look at the list of names of people that Drake London's looking for an extension. Kyle Pitts is not under contract. Caden Ellis is not under contract. David Onyemata. Just there's a list of guys up and down this roster that don't have contracts or homes for next year, that's why you go out and play as hard as you do. Mm-hmm. If you're Kirk Cousins, and obviously, you know, financial security next year will be fine for him, but not everybody else around him. Elijah Wilkinson. I mean, there's players throughout this roster. I think when fans tend to look at it, they go, oh, you know, but you lose, or, you know, for other teams, get a higher draft pick, not for us right now, but there's just so much that goes into this thought process. Nobody in that locker room is going to give up. And I think they did a nice job of kind of displaying last night. They've got everybody's back right now.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. And usually this time, every single week, we do the good, bad, and the ugly. But after last night's victory, we got to throw that up. Yeah, we can't do that.
So vibes are too high.
Yeah, we're going to do bad, good, and great for today. So let's go ahead and start with the bad. Get it out of the way. Mike, what do you consider bad from last night?
Is there any doubt about what was bad last night? And I think it's too easy to kind of hone in on the blocked kick. And I'll go ahead and say special teams on the through. I will say I thought Bradley Pinion had one of his best games of the year. Just absolutely booming the ball when necessary. At times, he has come up a little bit short when you've really needed him to step into a ball. But I thought the blocked field goal mixed with the very end of the game when you just kick the game, what would go on to be the game-winning field goal, they go kick the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And no time runs off the clock, and the Rams are allowed to bring that out to the 35-yard line. When really, at that point, now all you need is, what, 25 yards to get into field goal range? I thought that was an absolute blunder. I don't think that could happen in that circumstance, and I thought kicking that ball 2 yards in the end zone was bad. But the Jared verse block, as well as that play right there at the end, special teams, as much as I liked Bradley Pinion's punting and Zane Gonzalez nailing two field goals, continues to be an Achilles heel.
I will say this, though. I was not surprised at all that the Falcons kicked the ball into the end zone. Even in that situation, I wasn't surprised it happened. I don't think that Raheem has any confidence in that unit right now.
That's fair. Yeah, that's
I just
a really
don't
good
think
point.
He does, and it's not worth the risk. And you, the fact that you'd rather have him come out to the 35-yard line is pretty damning. And look, it happened in that Jets game. It's one of the it's the biggest reason why they lost that one. I mean, happening against the Seahawks and special teams blunders there. And
you were also without Josh Woods yesterday, who is one of your special teams aces as well.
Yeah, and you've been without like D'Angelo Malone and a lot of other guys who have not been a part of this team here just due to injuries or other reasons. But I mean, so I figured you were going to go that direction. I'm going to go somewhere else. And
go ahead.
It's going to be an injury related item. Brandon Dorlus, he goes down with an injury. It's a left knee, and we don't know what exactly it is yet. I know Raheem Morris is going to be asked about it today. I'm sure we'll get some kind of update after the press conference is over. That's just kind of how it goes sometimes. But it's not good. And based off the amount of pain that he was in coming off of the field and when he was being stretchered off the game out of the game, I mean, it was not good. And for a guy who leads you in sacks right now with 8.5, he had taken off this year. And after the redshirt season in 2024, you really were looking for him to take on a big role, and he did. And he's delivered in the biggest possible way. He's played 15 games now this season, has 8.5 sacks. I mean, it's one of the best seasons of any interior defensive lineman, much less for somebody who's, 24 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's a young cat, and the sky's the limit for him.
Tied for the
team lead in sacks.
Well, and I feel like you could feel the energy shift when he left the game, too. The momentum changed a little bit. All right, let's move on to the good. Mike, what do you have as your good today?
I actually had the game plan on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. We talked about it at the pregame show yesterday that Kirk Cousins, over the last four games, I believe, has averaged 35 passing attempts. And I wondered how much of that would kind of play into how they went about their business yesterday, because you really needed to keep Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense off the field. And by throwing the ball around and playing from behind the way the Falcons have over the last couple of weeks, you were going to stop the clock. You risk going three and out. You risk putting their offense back on the field. I thought the game plan to hand it to Bijan a ton and to keep Kirk Cousins' passing attempts down, the only way you were able to do that is because you did jump out to a lead. And then defensively, I look at Jeff Ulbrich, you didn't go out of your way to blitz a ton. And that's been a calling card of the Falcons throughout the entire season. They're so blitz heavy. They're blitz heavy on third down. They brought some pressures, but even when they added a linebacker, they dropped an edge. You know, it was like very rarely more than four people that were ever blitzing at one given time. So I love the game plan from both coordinators that really came together to put the Falcons in a spot to be able to come away with the win yesterday.
Yeah, and that's my biggest one for my good. It's pressure without blitzing. It's 25% of your dropbacks did they send pressure. That's among the lowest for the Falcons this season. And that flies kind of in opposite of what they were doing in recent weeks. I mean, they had been sending a lot of pressure. And he fluctuates it based off of who he's playing, you know, because when he's playing Tyler Shough and stuff like that, I mean, he sent a lot of pressure because it's a young quarterback. When he's playing Jacoby Brissett, he sent a lot of pressure because he's somebody who lets pressure get to him a little bit. Matthew Stafford's not one of those guys. Matthew Stafford's somebody who feasts on teams who send extra bodies, especially once it's picked up with that solid offensive line that he has playing in front of him. So it was one of the biggest keys for me in this game is getting some pressure to him. And you sack him three times, you pressure him 11 times. It's the difference in the game for this team. And keeping that offense off out of rhythm, there's a reason he threw three interceptions. And it's pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
And last but not least, great. What do you have down for great today, Mike?
What do you think
everything.
I'm going with? Everything.
Everything. On the count of three, we could just say what the great is.
Bijan Robinson is a man amongst boys right now. And it's crazy because I think we fall into this lull of every week we see something special. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I do the postgame show and I'm like, all right. I even had to think about it last night for a split second. I'm like, who's the fantasy player of the game? I'm like, what am I even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could that even be a thought process? But he's been so dependable. He's been so resilient. He's been a guy that, you know, throughout his three-year career has shown up and has always been in uniform, and he's always doing something special. But last night, you remember, Allie, it was a conversation for us going through training camp. I think his career long was 38 yards,
yeah.
And he wanted to have a new career long as far as explosive runs, and he's done that multiple times. And I would say a 93-yarder is almost as good as it gets when it comes to a running back being able to get into the secondary and break away from some of those people. So I think that's something, that's a goal he wanted to accomplish. it's something we're all very lucky to see. You add him into the passing game. He's your leading receiver yesterday as well. It's just special. And him setting that franchise record, I know that Grant appreciated this because Grant's a baseball guy, and any old school baseball guy would always talk about the asterisks next to the records whenever you expanded the season from 154 to 162. It mattered to me that he got that in 16 games.
Yeah.
It mattered to me that you didn't wait until week 18 to get that record. And so happy to see him come away with that. I think that we're spoiled watching him every week. And that's why you hear the excitement in Raheem's voice when he talks about him.
And you talk about him getting that explosive element to his game. 93 yards is the longest in franchise history. It's the longest in the NFL since 2020. It's uncanny, and you nailed it. I mean, the guy does something special every time he touches the football, and it's hard to really put it into words when it comes to just how special this guy is. When you get to watch him every week and you see him in practice, it becomes almost casual for these folks just watching this guy play. I said this on the Hometown Take. I have a buddy who lives up in Cleveland, moved up there. He's from Atlanta, hasn't been able to watch Bijan Robinson all that much. I mean, he's got a little baby and everything else. But this was a Monday Night Football, and the Falcons were playing. He's like, I'm really excited. I get to watch Bijan Robinson. I'm like, just sit back and enjoy, man.
Yeah.
Just enjoy. And he's going to put on a show, and that's exactly what he did in this game.
I think it also bears mentioning, too, when you talk about his numbers. A lot of times when you have a huge – I don't remember what his stat line ended up being. Was it 197? That he ended up having on the ground last night?
195, fifth most in Falcons history.
Okay, so 195. I think sometimes when you see large numbers like that, you look at it and go, oh, but if you take away the big run. You take away the big run for him, he still had over 100 yards rushing yesterday. Like, I think that's important to kind of make sure you throw that caveat in there. It's like, oh, 93 yards. Even when you take it away, the night was still really, really good, and especially in the passing game as well. So he's just special. And there's no other way to put it. He's really, really good. And, you know, hopefully – we can get him in some playoff scenarios in his time here in Atlanta. I think that's the next step for him.
Garrett, I do have to tell you, I got a promotional email from a Cleveland company yesterday because it was Victory Monday. And I clicked on it just to see what their merch was like. First t-shirt that's available is House of Sadness with a picture of their stadium. I was like, this is not a supportive company.
That's brutal.
Are they building the new stadium?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're moving
out. They're the ones who set up the barge fall.
A new stadium? Well, I guess when they were brought back to Cleveland,
I was going to say, what was it, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess in this day.
Think about how long Turner Field lasted. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
That was, less than 20?
Yeah, I think it said House of Sadness since like 99 or something like that. It's been a while. It's been a while.
It'll end up being a 30-year stadium, which kind of makes sense.
Well, coming up, Matt Stafford did move up in a record last night. Despite that loss, we'll cover it and zoom out on the rest of the NFL next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Rams 5 of 8 on fourth down over the last four games.
So Kyren Williams has come in. He's the lone setback. Stafford under center. And Stafford going to hand to Kyren Williams. He got blasted. Whoa! Khalid Kareemed him. My heaven.
Kareemed him. I love that. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, that was a hard hit. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back Friday. Garrett is filling in for Dylan behind the glass. We are talking about this Falcons victory all morning long because it was just fun to watch. It was just fun.
It really was, man. It just felt good. I think a lot of Falcons fans, and I'll share this emotion, it's like you kept coming back to, man, I wish we could make the playoffs. I wish that there was some kind of way we could make the playoffs, but that was not part of the equation last night. It becomes even more frustrating when you look at the NFC South scenarios, but it just kind of is what it is. And once you kind of got that out of your brain, you're able to kind of celebrate. I know that there is a faction of this fan base that would probably tell you they were almost sad yesterday to see us win because of what it could mean for the future. I don't live in that world. I've said it a number of times on the show. That's not the route that I choose to go mentally whenever I'm rooting for any of my teams, much less the Atlanta Falcons. So, just settled in, got a nice victory, and it just felt good. The vibes were high in the building last night.
I feel like the emotions have gotten muddied around this team over the last few weeks as far as Falcons fans. Like, who do you want to come back next season, right? That's the big question today, and we do want to ask you that in the wake-up call. So if you have thoughts now, you can't be with us at 8 o'clock. Make sure to go ahead and tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. And thanks to last night's game, there was a ripple effect with Matt Stafford. Let's talk about it and go in the huddle. Well, after last night's loss, Matt Stafford is no longer the favorite for MVP this year. It is now moved over to Drake May. But despite that loss, Stafford has passed Ben Roethlisberger for sixth on the NFL's all-time passing yards list. He added 269 to his record last night.
I'm going to heap praise upon Matt Stafford before I get to the next stat. Incredible career. Really, it was a lot of fun to watch him in person again last night. He's somebody that, I got to be on the field at the same time as multiple times in his times with the Lions and going up there and playing at Ford Field. I was there, the Falcons, we were playing when Calvin Johnson set the single season receiving record. Matthew Stafford obviously throwing the ball to him. So just an incredible player. The longevity, the talent level he's playing at right now, the way he's operating that offense is really insane. The other side of your story when it comes to stats that he was able to set last night, I think he tied the NFL record for pick sixes thrown in a career with like 32 or 33.
Wow.
Which is just crazy to think about how long your career has to be if you're going to throw that many pick sixes and play at the level he has played at. So I'll have to look up the exact number, but I remember that popping up last night. They were like, with that pick six, Matt Stafford has tied the NFL record. It's like, geez, that's crazy.
See, I didn't even hear that one. That's a good one to stick in the back pocket.
I think it was with Brett Favre.
That sounds like a Brett Favre stat.
Gotta be.
Matthew Stafford was that type of quarter, and I tweeted this after the game or during the game. That fourth quarter drive where the Falcons kicked the ball off through the end zone. We talked about that a little bit ago. And he could put the ball into any spot on the field at any given time. And he overthrew one receiver at one point, but that throw to Puka Nacua in the back of the end zone was an absolute dot.
That was insane.
And then you talk about the one down the sideline, an absolute dot. It's just his arm talent is so incredible. It really is.
It's crazy also. I don't think a lot of people think about it. And since we brought up Ben Roethlisberger, watching him roll out and then keep his eyes downfield and square his shoulders and just kind of like backpedal away from the pass rush, like that's just not something that normal people do. That's one of the other things that makes him so special is his ability to kind of get out around pressure and still make throws down the field. He did it numerous times last night. It's very Big Ben-esque the way he's able to do that.
Ruco Rora called him the last OG quarterback in the NFL. Huh. How do you feel about that?
I love that.
I get, unless you want to count Phillip Rivers, which, I mean, he is the OG.
Yeah. I am curious, Garrett, are you a little bit conflicted about the news about Matt Stafford maybe not getting MVP due to last night's game? Because you're a UGA alum.
I'm not an alum. I'm like most Georgia fans. I didn't go to school.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry.
He's adjacent.
Adjacent. I'm an adjacent.
You're a UGA fan.
Yes, yeah. I mean, no, I don't care too much about that necessarily. I think that he's had an elite season. I think he deserves to get that kind of recognition. I think Drake May does too. I mean, I'm completely fine with it one way or the other. I'm more worried about the offensive player of the year and the defensive rookie of the year and Bijan Robinson and James Pierce Jr. getting some well-deserved recognition there. I don't think either of them are going to win the award when it's all said and done, but I think they should absolutely get some votes.
Gotcha. All right, Ravens are saying that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is to be determined And this is a big game. It will crown the AFC North champion, but John Harbaugh says they will know more tomorrow.
And John Harbaugh goes about his business in a strange way when it comes to injuries, where he'll get like Snoop Huntley like all the reps, and then Lamar will come back to practice for like one day, and then he'll not practice the next day. It's just they always do things very strange. There's nothing to take away from the injury reports for the Ravens. So I guarantee you that we're going to hear, oh, Lamar practiced in full, and then it's going to be like he's still questionable, and then it's like Lamar didn't practice today. There's always craziness surrounding that team, and I do think they have to do a good job of getting Snoop Huntley all the reps necessary to make sure he's ready to go. And if Lamar can play, great. He's a MVP, two-time MVP or whatever it is for a reason, but you can't let your season hinge on whether or not he's healthy. I think Huntley has to get a bulk of those reps this week if they're going to be ready to go.
Is there a result that was more predictable than the Steelers losing that game to the Browns to set up week 18 against the Ravens in a winner-take-all?
The Falcons fans that did not like Arthur Smith will say no, because watching his offensive output against that Cleveland defense, it just felt very predictable. That was nuts.
It felt like they didn't want Myles Garrett to get the sack more than they wanted to.
That's what Myles Garrett said. I've made this point a couple times now. It probably would benefit your offensive game plan to make sure Myles Garrett's not hitting your quarterback, though.
Yeah,
right?
That's very true.
I was going to say, it kind of goes hand in hand. I don't think I want him hitting Aaron Rodgers. Breaking news. So, I mean, good for Myles Garrett. And I think that he's just riding the high of the win, and he should. It's been a tough season up there. But, yeah, I would say that's fine by me if that's what they were focused on. Yeah, sure. They probably should focus on that.
Crazy stat, though. Against teams who are 8 or more games below 500, mm-hmm. in their last 5 games, the Steelers are winless. They're 0-4-1. 0-4-1.
Really?
Against teams, their last 5 games against teams who have lost 8 or more games, or the 8 or more games below 500.
Huh.
Just can't help but feel like if they lose that game, and I think that's a Saturday game.
Sunday Night Football.
Is it?
Sunday Night Football.
Okay, so then you must have the Rams, Niners, and the Panthers, Bucks on Saturday. Meaningful games all weekend, but I just can't help but feel like if the Steelers lose that game, that might be headed for a divorce in the head coaching situation.
Mm.
It just feels like it's starting to move that way, which there's been questions about John Harbaugh as well this year, but, man, some stuff will be up in the air for sure.
Yeah, just confirming, Seahawks 49ers is Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
Andy Reid says he plans to return to the Chiefs as coach next season as long as they'll have him.
As long as they'll have me. Not that you're a first ballot Hall of Famer in just a closet full of Super Bowl rings. No big deal. This is a no-brainer from both sides. I know that people look at the Travis Kelce situation and Patrick Mahomes' injury and they go, oh, Andy Reid might take this opportunity to hang him up. I think he genuinely enjoys at this point in his career showing up to work every day.
Yeah.
I think that when you're a coach that's scratching and clawing to make a name for yourself and worried about getting fired, I think that's a completely different scenario. Andy Reid's not going to get fired, and he is a Hall of Famer, and he is just kind of going to be able to coach however long he wants to. And I think because of that, it's probably very, very nice to just show up and sip your coffee and game plan, watch a little tape, coach Patrick Mahomes whenever he's healthy and just kind of ride into the sunset.
You're not surprised a little bit that he's coming back?
No, because like I said, I think that this is just a guy, I think he's very comfortable, he makes great money.
I don't think he wants to go out on this season.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
That's another good point as well. He's not exactly pulling a Bill Cowher if he were to walk away right now.
True.
So, I don't find it shocking at all. I think that he would do right by the Chiefs to usher in a new era as well if and when, Patrick Mahomes can't play at the beginning of next year and Travis Kelce's not there and a lot of other stuff that's up in the air.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with it too. Because I don't think if I'm the Chiefs, it's not that I don't want Patrick Mahomes to play. It's that roster needs a lot of love and
yep.
they need to kind of not fully hit a reset button, but figure out some things and do things a little bit differently and kind of give him some reinforcements. And I was curious when I heard you say that, because I hadn't heard the news that Andy Reid was coming back yet. But how about that? How about that? Good for him.
And the Chargers will be resting Justin Herbert in the Broncos game. Trey Lance will start instead.
I wondered if there was a part of me that wondered last night if when the Falcons were up 21-0 at halftime, if you had come out and made it 28-0,
mm-hmm.
I wondered if they would pull Matt Stafford out of the game last night.
Really?
because there's just not a lot of room that they can move up and down in the standings. They can't win their division. They have to be a 5 or a 6 seed at this point, and I don't know if that's worth them going out and playing him the second half, and you still might not even be able to win the game.
Did you see Davante Adams on the sidelines yesterday? I was wondering if they regretted not playing him last night, because before the game, he was running and looked great.
Yeah.
There was talk about him getting shut down for the season.
Yeah, I think that's probably where they're going to err. I
don't think he's going to play.
After watching him run, I think you ran okay in the pregame, and I did. I saw the film of him running pregame. I have a hard time believing he's going to play next week for a game that really just doesn't mean much in the end. And I am a massive proponent, like I said, of when you're out of it. But when you have the playoffs and you do feel like that with him in the lineup, you are a Super Bowl contender, sure. I mean, you're good. Like, we'll just see you in a little bit, man. Just show up when we get that first-round game.
But it's also the difference between playing the NFC South champion versus playing the Eagles.
Is it the Eagles? Yeah, I thought that.
The Bears.
I thought it was.
I mean,
which is why we saw Matt Stafford finish the game last night.
Yeah,
I'm sure that you would rather have that. But didn't the Rams lose to one of them already this year? Am I making that up? One of the Rams' losses, I think, is to another NFC South team.
I can look.
Yeah.
To the Eagles. They lost to the Eagles.
Not the Eagles. No.
You said the NFC South.
Yeah, didn't they lose to the Panthers?
They lost to the Panthers, 31-3.
There you go.
Good call.
Bam.
It's
not that easy for them. They might be like, hey, we'd rather have the – no, they're not saying.
They beat the Buccaneers 34-7, though.
Bam. That one got sideways.
34-10 over the Saints. Yikes.
Coming up, we got a few college football games to preview. Very curious how Mike is feeling about the Rose Bowl coming up.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
Okay, and it's Top 5 Tuesday. Mike's going to close out 2025 with the final list.
You see how she snickers at me when she talks about Alabama football? She just kind of snickers at me like she's kind of poking at me like, oh, they're playing the number one team, blah, blah, blah. No, I ain't worried about it. Yeah, I got Top 5 Tuesday. We're going to do the top 5 plays from last night's game, in my opinion. You'll love it, I promise.
That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
7:43, we are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back next year. Garrett is in for Dylan Behind the Glass. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys, get the strong arm. It's very odd to see you in a backwards winter hat like this, Mike.
Yeah, what do you call these? It's not a toboggan,
what do you call it? It has like...
That's kind of a toboggan.
Wool, is it? The flaps that
with
come down over
down?
The ears.
Yeah, it's just a ball cap, but toboggan?
It's a new era Falcons hat, but then you have the added, ears with the fur.
Like, flaps. I'm used to seeing you in a backwards hat, but not one that has like the wool flaps coming up over.
I love this hat. You know, I got this hat. I was doing a trip to Fairbanks, Alaska to watch the Super Bowl with some of the troops, like a USO
amazing.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I got from our equipment room before I left. I was like, I need something to keep me warm. And they handed me this before I walked out, and I've had it ever since. So it's 13 years old, this hat. So, yeah, I love this hat.
That's such a cool hat.
It is really cool.
It's one of one. I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
Yeah. I like it. Well, you can check it later on the 929 Morning Show.
Yeah, we're going to be putting up a video later on. You can check it out. We are going to get to Mike's top five in a moment, talk about college football playoffs. But after last night's Falcons win over the Rams 27-24, I do feel the emotions are kind of all over the place. I would love to take the temperature of fans and where they stand, who they want to return next season. I did see a tweet from Walter Wiggin, tweeted us. He was saying, yesterday felt like a playoff game. Falcon fans are ready for a successful season. Bring in Mike McCarthy, bring in Malik Willis, sign him to a three-year, $40 million deal. Update jerseys to the current throwbacks.
Malik Willis is going to get more money than that, first and foremost. I've been talking to a couple people the last couple of weeks about Malik Willis. We can't afford to pay. Well, we can afford it. Let me run that back. But you're not going to pay starter-level money, I don't believe, unless it was Kirk Cousins, to any quarterback to come in here and learn a new system and play in front of Michael Penix for, what, four games at the most? So I don't think you'll get there. And I understand the frustration. I think this is going to be an interesting wake-up call when we get to it in 15 minutes of who wants to, you know, who wants Raheem to stay, who wants Terry to stay. Zach Robinson has had some of his best efforts over the last few games. And how do you feel about Kirk Cousins? Do you want Kirk Cousins to be around? Tyler Allgeier, Kyle Pitts, Caden Ellis. I mean, the list goes on. So who do you want to be around? Who do you not want to be around? I know that there is a large contingent of people that say rip the Band-Aid off, start over. But this, there is something to this team and watching them yesterday that felt like you were building something. Mm-hmm. And I would say the one thing above all else that I keep coming back to, who do you want to stay? Jeff Fulbrick, for me, is a non-negotiable. The guy has got to be a part of whatever you're doing moving forward. I realize it's outside the box thinking, even if you hire a new head coach, well, you got to allow the head coach to hire whoever he wants to. If a head coach got hired here and he did not want to hire Jeff Fulbrick to coach this defense, I would think he was probably dumb right out of the gate before he ever coached a Falcons game as a head coach. I mean, I just would. What he's been able to do, guys, he solved the problem of the pass rush. And I realize some of it is definitely personnel. But Brandon Dorlus is a prime example. Brandon Dorlus was here last year. Brandon Dorlus suddenly has 8.5 sacks. You know, the knee injury stinks, but I've got to have Jeff Fulbrick. When I look at the development of Xavier Watts, the development of Jalen Walker, the development of James Pierce Jr., the development of Rook, I've got to have these guys back. I want that defensive unit to remain whole. I want to see Billy Bowman back healthy and Mike Hughes back healthy and add maybe a run plugger in the middle. I want to see that run back next year. Barring whatever you do with anybody else, if I'm picking one person that's got to be back in the fold, it's got to be Jeff Fulbrick. It makes me sick to think that you could possibly set a franchise record in sacks this year after what we saw a year ago, and then that guy just walk out of the door if something were to happen with the rest of the staff here. It makes me sick.
Yeah, you're only two sacks away from breaking that franchise record. There's a pretty decent chance that you go get that done against a rookie quarterback in Week 18.
It'd be nice.
Pretty good chance. But you would also have your fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years.
How do you
draft for that?
You don't.
I know people talk about it like, oh, so-and-so doesn't fit the scheme. Yeah, because he was drafted for the coordinator 3 years ago.
And I know that
it was different than the one from 2 years ago.
We had the conversation yesterday about Matt Ryan possibly being in the front office. And that was exactly what I'm talking about. I want a linear vision for this team. I want pieces that will fit. Not a coach that says, I'm coaching for my job, so this guy's got to play. Or a GM who says, man, I'm going to trade whatever draft picks I have to so that I get good players in here because I'm going to be fired if not. I want the vision to be the best thing for the Falcons long term when it looks, you know, that everything's going on. That just fits that exact scenario I'm talking about. I don't want a different coordinator every single season if you don't go to the playoffs. I mean, it's just how I feel right now.
And I'm sure you have some feelings about who you want to see return. We would love to hear from you at 929 Morning Shift. We'll take your calls in a few minutes, right at 8 o'clock. We'll do the wake-up call. That number, if you want to go ahead and lock it in your phone, is 404-726-0929. We do have the college football playoff quarterfinals coming up. So I am curious. We talked about probables before, Mike, but how are you feeling about the Rose Bowl matchup, Alabama, Indiana?
I am. This is crazy for me to say. Yeah, here we go. Man, this guy always pressing my buttons in there. I don't like this song.
I know.
I don't like this song.
Really? You didn't like the song?
Dude.
That's so funny when you're like,
I actually
Mike,
didn't know.
When you go, Mike, I got something for you, and you play it every time.
I hate it. This is the second time you've done this.
I wish you would have told
And look,
me that.
The song's fine, I guess. It's just so overplayed.
It's just true.
For the love, man.
Okay.
Can you imagine playing for Alabama, though?
Oh, dude, it's
and
so,
how
I mean,
often
it's
you
I bet
hear
you do
it.
Hear it. Constant.
Yeah.
I bet it's constant. What song
good
would you prefer?
Good enough tune. Yeah. I don't know. Dixieland Delight, if you're going to play
one. See, that's the classic
There you go. The Dixieland Delight. Actually, the Green Day song. What is it? I can't remember. The band plays a Green Day song, which is really good. I have to get you with that one here in just a minute.
All
but
right,
it just I feel like they have a puncher's chance, you know, maybe more than a puncher's chance. LT Overton is back healthy. He hasn't played the last couple of games. You've got a couple of guys that will be coming back. And also, I look at Ryan Williams and what your expectations are of him. Maybe he comes up with a big play. He's almost like thinking you're going to get a player back from injury because he's been non-existent, more times than not. So I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a contrasting style. I worry about getting in a slugfest, with Indiana because they play a bruising brand of football. But I think that if you can protect Ty Simpson, he is capable of making some downfield throws. He's also been dealing with injuries as well, and hopefully he can get back healthy. But Indiana's good. They remind me so much of the versions of Alabama I played for when Kurt Cignetti was in town and when Kirby Smart was in town that. We didn't even really have an explosive offense, but we were going to absolutely hit you in the mouth on any given play. And, that was just kind of the brand we played. That's what they're doing up in Indiana right now. So,
do you see parallels, I guess, with McElroy and some of those guys in Fernando Mendoza?
It's a little bit of a loaded question, Garrett. Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy.
But they won multiple national championships.
I think that Greg was so good at operating. Greg back then was a little bit like Kirk is now, where it's like he's not going to be game-breaking. He's going to sit in the pocket, but he's going to know where to go with the football. It's exactly what Greg was back then. I have a lot of respect for Greg McElroy, there's no doubt. But that was a running back-led team with Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson. This one's a little bit different with Mendoza. They do have a good running game, but he's kind of, when it all comes down to it, he's the one that's going to have the ball in his hands. So but
you didn't play with McCarron, did you?
Not as a starter, no, but he was actually on the team. He actually was our backup quarterback during the national championship when you were not allowed to play. Our backup, who was Star Jackson, transferred to Georgia State during bowl practice. And so they had the conversation with AJ. They're like, dude, if something happens to Greg McElroy, you are going to burn your red shirt and play in this national title game.
Wow.
Shout out to him. He was up for it. So, and now he's the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions.
Yeah, good for him.
All right. Quick little top five Tuesday. We're going to relive some of the moments from last night. This Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Maybe you were at a Buffalo's Cafe last night as you were watching the Falcons get the dub over the Los Angeles Rams. So we're going to do top five plays, my top five plays from last night. There's a number of them to pick from. I think anytime most people do a top five list and there's a game-winning kick, you probably get down to the top of that list and maybe game-winning kick's number one. We'll get there in just a second. I'll tell you what it is. All right, G, let's start with number five.
So now it's third and goal back at the four here. Cousins gets in the gun. Warner off his right hip. Two to the left. London to the right. Snap to Kirk. Pressure coming. Kirk going to flip it toward the end zone. Robinson touchdown at the right side. Atlanta's on the board first tonight. Bijan Robinson. His fourth touchdown catch of the year.
The old floater pitch from Scuffy McGee, if you've ever watched Rookie of the Year. Kirk Cousins steps up in the pocket, floats it over the defender. Everybody in the stadium saw Bijan Robinson open. The question was, can Kirk get him the football? He was able to. You get on the board first. All right, got to fly through here. How about this one, Garrett, for number four, big one?
Rams 5 of 8 on fourth down over their last four games.
So Kyron Williams has come in. He's the lone setback. Stafford under center. And Stafford going to hand to Kyron Williams. He got blasted. Whoa! Khalid Kareemed him. My heaven.
You got to love it. Khalid Kareem knifing inside into the B gap inside of backup left tackle DJ Humphreys to make the stop on 4th and 1. Really flipped the attitude of this game early on. Khalid Kareem, standard practice squad elevation just one day before, and comes up and is able to step up and make a play. So shout out to him for being able to get it done. All right, I did mention game-winning field goals, Garrett. Let's hit number three.
Pinion to hold on the left hash. Left to right angle for Gonzalez in his 8th year out of Arizona State. trying to give the Falcons a lead in the final half minute. Liam McCullough to snap. There's the spot. The kick is away by Gonzalez. And it is good. 52 yards with 21 seconds left and gives Atlanta the lead at 27-24.
For people that don't understand the scenario surrounding this, myself, Grant McCauley, Dylan, Garrett, whoever is here running the Falcons board, we are hearing this all happen in real time, but we're TV is like a 90-second delay.
Yeah.
So we are all holding our breath. They're like, please, God, don't block it. Please, don't block this. As we lock arms on the sideline. No, I'm just kidding. All right, speaking of big plays, let's go ahead and hit number two.
So the interception with 97 seconds left. 141 is what they put on the clock. And here goes Bijan Robinson. 30, 35, 40, midfield. It's a foot race. Robinson 30, 15, 10, 5, house call. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. He just went 93.
Woo, the vibes were high at that point. The 93-yard touchdown run from Bijan Robinson, a career high. I don't even know. We can just go down the list of highs from, you know, since 2021 or since 1996 or whatever else there is in there. It was a huge run for Bijan Robinson. And also, it comes down to this number one play, which was Matthew Stafford chunking the ball downfield.
Here's Stafford out of the gun, looking left, still looking left, checks it back across the middle, intercepted on the backside. Jesse Bates,
go,
20,
Jesse.
15,
go, Jesse.
10, 5. House call. Touchdown, Atlanta. For the fourth time in his career and the second time as a Falcon, Jesse Bates has a pick six.
Maybe my favorite top five list to date. You know what I mean? Just, what are we, 9 hours old with some of these cuts? And I'm like, it's a stroll down memory lane.
Yeah.
Let's just play these again and again. Can't get enough of it, man. Big night last night.
I mean, that has to be the top five list that is full of the best energy
so good
to date.
Yeah. Wes and Dave got a shout out on the Halo board last night for 20 years in the Falcons booth, which was really well done by the organization. And just in Wes and Dave fashion, they kind of waved at the camera and got right back to work.
Yeah,
Wes was already back on the call before the video ended because the Rams were running the ball up the middle. And he was like, all right, cool. And Squid obviously sitting between them. Really cool moment. But shout out to those guys and a couple of big moments from the Falcons last night.
They are so good at their craft. Well, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We've been talking about it. Who do you want to return next season? Raheem, Jeff Albert, Caden Ellis, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins. Run through them. We want to know. 404-726-0929. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.